The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Unfortunately, freedom is its own worst enemy.
Coming up on Life Today, authors John Andrews and Kevin Miller defend freedom and virtue in our nation.
Freedom will turn us soft, and ultimately we sell ourselves right back into bondage, James.
We're asking the federal government in America to deliver both freedom and virtue. And the federal government, if it tries to do both, will get neither.
The rebirth of freedom and responsibility, next.
I want to welcome you to Life Today. It is such a privilege to be able to share this time with you. I'm James Robison. You're going to see, as you do oftentimes, if you watch Life Today, and by the way, this is not something you want to miss because you say, well, it might be disturbing. You're going to see that we're going to be asking you to help us save lives, and we don't just have a wishful thought or feeble hope. We know exactly what we need to do. And people have expressed appreciation to me and to Betty over the years for the fact that we have drilled so many water wells with your help and fed so many millions of people and led millions of people to Christ because of those compassionate expressions. I want you to know this. What we're talking about today is an attempt to feed you and those you love in the most important way that will enable us to keep helping others. You know, we wrote the book Indivisible as a gift to help everyone understand what must be done and why, to give us an understanding of the times that we live in and how we can properly address the very pressing and real problems we have. I am privileged to introduce to you two men that have written two books that I think are absolutely fabulous. Now, Indivisible is quite a lengthy read. These are books that you could read literally in an evening and you would not waste one moment. Freedom Nationally, Virtue Locally, or Socialism, by Kevin Miller. You're going to meet him in a moment. Another book, Responsibility Reborn. If responsibility is not rightly assumed quickly, we're not going to have a future. A Citizen's Guide to the Next American Century. Fabulous books. I am so grateful to welcome the author, John Andrews, and also the author of Freedom Nationally, Virtue Locally, Kevin Miller. Kevin, John, so glad to have you.
Thanks, James.
Thank you.
You're both with Colorado Christian University. Now, your role there, you're, I think, teaching there. John, your role.
I run a public policy institute called Centennial Institute, and our mission is to teach citizenship and help our students on the campus love America and recognize what we must do to save America, and at the same time to get that message out to the community of Denver and Colorado and really across the country through a big national conference we hold every summer, including coming up the end of June, called Western Conservative Summit.
Kevin, you came and spent time with me and Betty when we were literally praying and really completing the book Indivisible that Jay and I were working on. And I could tell that our hearts beat in common. Give our viewers a little understanding of what you mean by freedom nationally and virtue locally, or socialism. And frankly, I think that's what we're headed for.
That's right. In fact, I call it virtue socialism, where the federal government defines and enforces our virtues for us. Really, rendering to Caesar means that the federal government has a particular role. That's to protect us and preserve our freedom. And we have a role, and that's virtue. That's for us as individuals, in our families, and as church members. And the Constitution really supports the whole idea, freedom nationally, virtue locally. And that's really the way the church functions too. The only way we're going to have a virtuous nation, a righteous nation, is by changing hearts and minds and infecting the nation from the bottom up, not from the top down.
One of the things you pointed out, and I actually grabbed it, and I ran with it. Matter of fact, I wrote a commentary. You talk about the only real theocracy that we need to be concerned about is what amounts to an autheocracy, a non-God ruling power, and that is the federal government and government being in control, and then forcing the will and ways of some people on everybody, because the people who really believe in God and who could ever really have what might be a God-centered principle
right.
would never tolerate something in the leadership role as a government. Our founders understood that. So we really do have a ruling power right now that's forcing their views on everybody else.
That's right. I call it a secular theocracy, and they follow the ideas of a church. For example, the secular theocracy that rules us now thinks there's sin, and usually it's environmental sin. It's not the sin we understand biblically. And they follow the rules of a religion, per se. And they really, over the past number of decades, adopted that stance and very deliberately want to become our virtue masters. They define virtue, and then we're supposed to follow it. And, of course, that's exactly what our founders did not intend.
John, you're talking about responsibility. You know, Chuck Colson went to be with the Lord recently, and he made a great statement: the more cops on the inside, the less cops you need on the outside. Burke and Jay Richards and I talk about this in Indivisible. Burke basically implied, and I paraphrase, that we literally, because of our unchained appetites, our out-of-control appetites, the appetites that are actually beginning to rule us, form the bondage or the fetter that keep us in chains. And that's precisely what's happening. People are out of control. But then you begin to put these systems in place that do a little bit of what Kevin is referencing, and people have lost personal responsibility. As I understand it, and you make it so clear, you're fabulous in describing it. I think it's just incredible. I pray everybody will get the book and read it. But if we won't be personally responsible, we're basically contributing to the destruction of freedom and opportunity for everybody.
Unfortunately, freedom is its own worst enemy, unless it is balanced and alloyed like you need to alloy iron in order to make it into steel. Freedom will turn us soft, and ultimately we sell ourselves right back into bondage, James, if we do not have that ownership of taking the consequences of the choices that we make as freely choosing men and women. If we can balance freedom and responsibility, we're going to beat the odds that predict that the wheels fall off for great nations and empires somewhere around 200 to 250 years. This puts America in the kill zone to slide from the liberty and abundance that have been the height of our greatness in the 20th century. My book says, where are we going in the 21st century? We could slide back down into complacency, apathy, dependency, and ultimately again into bondage. Freedom alloyed with responsibility has got to be our antidote for that. It plays into politics, but it's not primarily political. It starts with how we live our own lives and our families, our churches, our communities with voluntary charity. Ultimately, then, we start to reclaim the political arena, as you and Jay have outlined in Indivisible.
Do you feel like we covered the points that are really critically important for people to pray about and really have an understanding of in the book Indivisible?
I think you've absolutely nailed it. This is a book America's been waiting for, and I was just thrilled after you and I had met at the Western Conservative Summit a year ago in Denver, and we're glad that you're coming back to share with that audience of ours, 2,000 freedom and responsibility activists from across the country, the message of Indivisible, that it's a false separation to say you get your economic agenda over here and your society-preserving, family, church-preserving agenda over here. They are indivisible.
Mm-hmm. And we better be indivisible as believers and as people who claim faith in God. It's amazing how many ways we can find to argue and not come together where we do agree, we have common ground, but we don't address it. And to me, that is shunning responsibility. We've got so many people in both the Protestant and the Catholic community and in the community who claim believe in God, 80 million people who really say they believe in God, who could make a difference, who don't even register, don't vote. And if they do vote, they're either uninformed or ill-informed, and we don't understand responsibility to know the issues, to understand the principles you all talk about in these two books. If you were to say to our viewers in just this little interaction we have, what would you see becoming an indication of assuming responsibility properly? I think I just pointed to one we'd agree on, and that's to get informed, which is why we're trying to help you, even with the materials that we are offering. And Jay Richards and I didn't spend really the better part of a year, and actually 2 years, getting everything ready, and me 50 years of ministry, to try to lay something out if we weren't trying to arm you so you could be well informed and understand why these things matter. If people will become responsible in that way, what other areas of responsibility do you see that people need to understand they must assume, or we really are in serious trouble?
I conclude my book, Responsibility Reborn, with a 10-point agenda. And as I said a moment ago, it doesn't start with politics. It starts with building the foundation on which a healthy government political order stands above ground. It starts with strengthening our families, with insisting that our kids must learn, with renewing a common culture, not multiculturalism, one common American culture of the best of all cultures together. Expect more of our churches, expand private charity. Those are the first five. Then we take ownership of our role as citizens, and we start resisting overgovernment, rebuilding America's defenses, protecting America's sovereignty, and affirming freedom of conscience. It's those 10, and again, the first five, they start with the person in the mirror right in the house where I live and the workplace where I go to every day.
Kevin, when you and I talked, I knew you and I had hearts that beat in common, not just with one another, not with some political cause, but with the very heart of God. God wants to bless us so that we can live to be a blessing to others. We're on the way to forfeiting all of that, and I knew that was a deep concern to you, and it should be to everybody.
Absolutely. When we start turning over the virtue mechanism to the federal government, people start looking to the federal government to answer their questions, some of their deepest questions, and we know the government can never answer those. Our job as Christians is to recapture that spirit of Christ and know that our responsibility, in fact, our privilege, is to go locally, go to our families, our communities, our churches, and let the spirit of Christ be known and make the difference locally and take away this notion that John shares with me in his book that, in fact, the federal government is not responsible for us. The federal government is responsible for our keeping our freedom, but it's not responsible for our virtue notions. This is this huge opportunity we have in America. We see it going astray. We have this moment in time to stand up and say, wait a minute, we're not looking to Washington for virtue. There's no way. We've seen Washington operate for too long. We're not going to get virtue from Washington. It's practically impossible. We have this opportunity now to grasp that ring and say, look, it's about me impacting my community, impacting my family, impacting locally. That's what this is about.
You mean when someone says they're from the government and they're here to help me and they're going to help me make my neighbor behave as he or she should, I should distress them, Kevin?
Well, of course.
You're shattering my naive world.
Here's the thing. We're asking the federal government in America to deliver both freedom and virtue. And the federal government, if it tries to do both, will get neither. Because in the process of trying to give us virtue, they're going to take away our freedoms. That's what's been going on for decades now. They take away our freedoms in an attempt to make us virtuous, and we know the government's not the source of virtue.
James, you cited Edmund Burke's warning in your book, Indivisible. Another of my favorites from the era of the American founding, same time as Edmund Burke, is President John Adams. He says, our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other kind of people. He didn't mean a theocracy. He didn't mean churches or pastors telling everybody what to do. He meant that we have to be self-governors, which means responsible, choosing well and living with the consequences of our choices as free men and women, or you will create a vacuum into which government must come to dictate virtue. Government must come with its safety net or its welfare programs because people don't have the decency to look after their own family and the generosity then just to help their neighbors.
You know, I've been watching Life Today for years, and here's what the secret is. We know what the Lord's second greatest commandment was. Love your neighbors yourself. What we've done with the federal government is say, the federal government will tell you how to love your neighbor and they'll be the agent for doing it well. What I love about Life Today, and your folks have bound together with you in this ministry to go love your neighbor as yourself. And that may mean someone here in Texas, but it may be someone in Cambodia or Sudan. That's what this ministry is about. Anything less where we say the government must intervene never really honors the Lord. It's really about that kind of ministry that Life Today is.
If I see you in need, and I think that the solution is that I'm going to take from James and tax him, relieve him of what he's earned or saved in order to help you, and then I'm going to feel good about it like I've been charitable, and all I've ever really done is manipulate the political system and steal and put you into dependency of something that you didn't make any effort to have, this is the microcosm, the three of us that I've described is a microcosm of what America is stuck in today.
And what you also lose is the witness for Christ. The federal government is not going to witness for Christ. What legitimate Christian witness is when you're truly helping people at the depth of sex trafficking, water needs, food needs, is when you bind together the witness of truly helping people physically, but just as important, even more important, is helping them spiritually, pointing the way to eternal life. This is true witness, and it's apart from the federal government.
When you turn the needs of people in trouble over to the federal government, you have offered them a false hope. You have enabled them to be comfortable in the ditch that poor decisions on somebody's part help get them into. And you know, when we get in trouble, we have a tendency to look for help. But if you're in trouble and somebody says, we're going to take care of you there in your trouble, you're never going to find someone who cares. And the people who care are the ones who are willing to share their time, their interest, their means. You have created what I call the necessary compassion connection, which the government does not do.
Absolutely.
They simply throw money at a target they can never hit because it's love that never fails. The government mismanages, and they've proven it, how can you doubt it, to mismanage everything we entrust to their watch care. The only thing people look at and say, well, I appreciate, is what the military has done to protect and preserve what our legislators are in the process of throwing away.
Absolutely.
And not protecting. So we have really short-circuited the whole system of getting people out of trouble.
You mean, James, that if the prodigal son, when he was feeding the pigs far from his father's home, if he had had welfare and a free clinic and food stamps and cell phones for the homeless, he never would have come to himself and gone home.
No, he would actually.
It was an act of personal responsibility
exactly.
that took him home.
It drove him back to the father,
yeah.
his own need, and he found that the father really loved him and was involved with him. I have to believe that older brother must have been in some way connected in some fashion with the government. He had to be. He had such a rotten, indifferent attitude about solving the human dilemma. Now, let me just tell you this. These books are absolutely fabulous. By the way, you're in trouble. Some of you are hurting, you watch Life Today. Some of you, when you see someone we want to help, you say, you know what, I can help. By the way, on the mission field, when we feed people and get them strong, we show them how to grow better crops than they ever grew. We even teach them to do the little minute ways of irrigation and how to take advantage of what's there. We put them to work. We get them on their feet, get them strong. We don't try to make them all look like Americans and live like us and be dependent on everybody. We get them to work.
Well, you're in the responsibility business. That's why
Absolutely.
I resonated with you the first time we met.
Absolutely. That is exactly what it's about. Go to, you see the website there, Western Conference.
WesternConservativeSummit.com.
All right, there it is. And I'm going to be there. Jay's going to be there. Betty will be there.
We'll be there.
And I hope you'll go on and say we're going to be there with you.
June 29th,
Denver.
James, the last weekend in June. And we've still got lots of room. And we want people from all 50 states who care about turning this country around and who care about witnessing for Jesus Christ by the kind of citizens that we are.
That's in Denver, too. I don't know if we mentioned Denver.
In Denver, and come enjoy the beautiful Rocky Mountain views and just be there in the presence of the Lord, not only in a wonderful atmosphere, responsibility reborn, freedom nationally, virtue locally, or socialism. You can get the books right there online. Now, you referenced, Kevin, you've watched us for a long time, and there's no question you have seen that love never fails. You're going to see a tremendous need right now for love. I want you to look in. And I want you to listen to the stories of two children. Now, while you look at them, I want you to remember this. We're going to help them. You're going to want to help them. Please understand that what we've been doing throughout this program is reaching out to help you, your children, in the areas of need that you have. Here's something we can do. We can do it so easily and effectively. Watch.
And I also didn't know what that was. She ran to a chop down.
What are you going to do? We went back, by the way, those are areas of Sudan where we found 20,000 children where they were dying like two a day trying to get into an area where they heard we were going to be feeding. Because we were trying to establish these centers, which is one thing I'm asking your help for. While we're feeding hundreds of thousands of children that we found and put in other areas, we're now trying to open other areas there in the critical area of Sudan where they were dying just trying to get into the line. And so they're saying, now that you're here, what are you going to do? Well, see, the missionaries found them, took our mission team and our television cameras where we could show you and where we could see. And now they're saying, okay, what are you going to do? A mission pastor in Angola years ago, after we had rescued literally thousands and thousands of children that were connected to them, where they were burying them by the hundreds continually in little graves, and we had totally stopped it. And we went in where the pastor had all of his children in church, and they were singing, and they were so happy. And then I remember as we were walking away, the pastor stopped us, and he said, you're not going to be here anymore? You just came to see it, now you're gone? He thought we'd come, we saw, and we were gone. And we said, no. We just came to report on how positive the good is, because he said, there's so many more that are coming because they found out we're helping them, and it's changing their lives. And I said, we're never going to leave you. We're going to help you. Now, that child was saying, okay, you're here. What are you going to do? Well, you really are the answer to the missionaries. Are they going to be able to stay? Will they stay empty-handed with a broken heart? Or will they stand with a heart of love and hands full of compassionate expressions of your love? God's love through you. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Dial the number. If you've watched us before, you know what I'm asking you to do. Now, please do it. If you've never watched before, you've never seen this, please join. Because we've been able to save the lives of millions of children and lead millions of children to Christ. We just got a report from our missionaries. They have recorded 9.9 million commitments to Christ through the mission outreaches, and the doors have been opened there. Through the feeding, through the wells. Amazing. Nearly 10 million. We're winning people to Christ. We're expressing the love of God in action. Would you help us do it? Dial the number, please. Take your bank card, use it like a check. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're sending it. We need to know. We need to let the missionaries know. Yes, you can open that area. You can maintain it. The love of God through His people will make it happen. If you want to go online, you go to lifetoday.org and make your gift. We've got some very special gifts for you. The Jesus Storybook Bible, the side-by-side Bible to help you and bless you, as well as the bronze, the lion and the lamb. Thank you for helping us. Make the largest gift you can. If you can give $100, if you could give $1,000, I'm asking you to do it. But whatever you do, you remember this, 30 or 50, you're going to change the lives of 3 or 5 children. Make all the difference for them. Thank you for going to the phone or going online.
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like him face death as well. Today, you can make a difference and help save a life. In addition to the 400,000 children already in Life's Mission Feeding Program, our teams have found a region in South Sudan with another 20,000 children in need of immediate life-saving assistance. Our mission teams are in place, but we desperately need your help to replenish critically needed food supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll rush you the Jesus Storybook Bible. This beautifully illustrated book will help your children discover for themselves that Jesus is at the center of God's great story of salvation, and at the center of their lives, too.
With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request our new international version and new King James side-by-side Bible with a two-column format for easy comparison. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online right now.
The picture on your screen is a picture of desperate need, of desperation, of a life being stolen away by a killer called malnutrition, the simple lack of adequate nutrition in a child's life. You say, well, what do we do about that? How do we bring hope back into that situation? How do we take a child like this that weighs less than half what she should at her age and turn that situation around? This is how you do it. You open your heart today and you give the very best gift that you can give, because by giving that gift, you literally will be providing hope to children who so desperately need it. And that's why we're looking to you, counting on you, to say, I'll do what I need to do. I'll give that gift today. I'll save that life.
John Andrews asked me something. By the way, if you're calling, you keep calling until you get through. But you made a comment about the Jesus Storybook Bible, and I could tell that you had seen it and you had examined it.
You know, a Bible teacher at our church in Denver brought this to Donna's and my attention, and we just love it. Never a week goes by that we don't dip into it. It helps you stay childlike in your faith, which Christ said is the only way to follow Him.
A university leader saying that, and it's the truth. It really is true. I want to thank you, Kevin, and I thank you, John, and let me just repeat, there is the website that you go on, and I hope we'll see you at that incredible conference. And John Andrews' book, Responsibility Reborn, Freedom Nationally, Virtue Locally, or Socialism, We Are Headed for This, Extreme Manifestation of Socialism If We Don't Make an Adjustment. Thank you so much
for
being with us. And thank all of you for watching. Do encourage your friends to watch Life Today. And if you really want to arm people with the body armor for the spiritual battle we're in and the culture war, encourage them to read Indivisible. It really is a textbook for this moment if we want to make the proper corrections. God bless you.
Connect with Life Today through your favorite social media sites. Just go to lifetoday.org and click Connect. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.